Fax and Childress, and John Height.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards.
Good
I mean,
death.
He put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jack.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pegues.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit! Denzel Ward, you got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter, 2 seconds, one launches a three. Good if it goes, it does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer, sends Clemson to the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Fax and Childress and John Height.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Thursday edition of Fax on Sports with Fax and Childress and John Height right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Excited to have you guys here today on Thursday, December 4th, 2025. Glad to have you with us. Phone lines and text lines will be open throughout the course of today. 654-ROAR, the number there, if you would like to check in with us. It would be our pleasure for you guys to join the program today and participate. Excited to have you guys here today with a lot to discuss on a Thursday morning. Obviously, goes without saying, I'm here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Really good game last night over at the Coleman Coliseum between the Tigers and the Crimson Tide. Clemson comes up just short in a triumphant comeback effort against Alabama. Really good effort in the second half, just ran out of gas down the stretch. A lot to break down, a lot to analyze on that front. We've also got an ACC-SEC challenge recap. Really rough day for the ACC yesterday, rather, to be candid. So we'll run through some of those results and what went wrong for the Atlantic Coast Conference. We've got some of our conference championship game preview, including our pick'em contest and plays. Excited for those as well. 654-ROAR if you would like to get in. John, how is it holding it back down at Mission Control here? And did you enjoy watching the game last night?
I enjoyed the second half of the game. I did not enjoy the first half of the game. I thought it was a pretty poor showing by the Tigers, especially getting that game started. I thought they were very slow getting off the bus.
Yeah, it was definitely very slow getting off the bus, and that much is for certain. It was an interesting game, so let's hop right into it. 654-ROAR, you guys are already flooding the Adams Co-Roofing text line with texts, including texter, texter from the 913 gets in and says, good morning, absolutely look forward to the opening of your show every day and love your show. Appreciate you texting in, 913, and appreciate the kind words there. But let's hop right back into some Clemson basketball discourse. Alabama 90, Clemson 84. First half was really rough for the Tigers, as John alluded to. It was a game where I felt like Clemson lacked energy and intensity in the first half. Brad Brownell seemed to agree with me with what his post-game commentary showcased, and it was kind of weird, if you want me to be honest with you. It was a weird start to the game. First and foremost, I've never been more disappointed in an environment and a gymnasium in my life than what was showcased yesterday at the Coleman Coliseum. I thought the crowd was just downright pathetic, borderline embarrassing. A top 15 program, half of the stadium was empty. The crowd was not loud. The crowd was not engaging. It was like a weird and eerie environment that Kwok and I kept looking back and forth at each other going, really? This is it? I feel like you get the depiction painted on TV where you only get to see like half of the crowd, right? And you get the crowd noise pumped in by ESPN or whatever outlet is carrying the game. So it's going to make it look like it's a stronger environment than it actually is. I'll tell y'all right now, single worst P4 environment I've ever been in for a men's basketball game, not close. Runaway landslide. And I very much anticipate William Quackenbush to share similar sentiments from 12 to 3 because we were complaining the entire time. I mean, I get to watch very few games as a quote-unquote fan. This was one of the games that I get to watch as a fan. I was louder than any Alabama fan in attendance. There was nobody standing on their feet and cheering with the momentum of the game. The student section was absolutely dead. So from that perspective, I was really disappointed in the game day experience at Alabama here, just to be candid with the audience. Again, William Quackenbush from 12 to 3 without a bounce back on the Eastern Standard Time. He will share very similar sentiments because I think we were both very gravely disappointed in the environment that Alabama brought. As far as the game goes, maybe I say that because maybe that's a reason that Clemson struggled to get into the game early. I'm not looking to make excuses because there's no excuse. RJ Godfrey was the only player that came off the bus ready to play, is the way that I view it. He had like 8 of the first 10 points for the Tigers. Felt like nobody else could score throughout the course of the first half. Justin Porter, 4 points, 2 of 7 field goals, 0 of 3 3-pointers in 16 minutes, majority of which came in the first half, and he eventually got sent to the bench for like the game for the last 15 minutes of this one. I thought Carter Welling, 2 points, 4 rebounds in 17 minutes, with 2 turnovers and 2 fouls as well. I thought he had the worst game of his Clemson career thus far, and it was just a really weird and off-putting dynamic inside of the Coleman Coliseum early in this game. And with that being said, Clemson got popped in the mouth. Like, you were down 20 plus points at one point in this one, and it was just extremely strange to see Clemson come out that flat. That was not necessarily what I anticipated coming into this game. And John, you also kind of referenced first half was just completely a crapshoot from a Clemson perspective. We'll get into the second half because there's a ton of positives, and it is worth acknowledging that this team battled back, and that deserves a lot of credit. But it was a soft first half performance from Brad Brownell's Tigers, at least everybody not named RJ Godfrey.
Yeah, no, I thought RJ played well. I don't think anybody else really did, for that matter. You couldn't hit a three-pointer to save your life in the first half. You were under 30% from the field. I didn't think that you were particularly all that great along the glass in either half of this game. I think you got out-rebounded. I'm double-checking here in both halves. Yeah, you got out-rebounded by Alabama in both halves. There's a lot of talent on this team. But it just looked like a bunch of guys out there trying, at least to me in the first half. What I got to see, it took a little while to get the little one down to go to sleep. Missed the first couple minutes, but it really just seemed like a lot of guys out there just trying to play street ball in the first half. It was very disappointing to see.
Yeah, it was a flat performance from the Tigers for sure, and I don't really know, you know, why I would put my finger to that. Now, with that being said, you know, Alabama is a top 10 team in the country. Alabama does play this very unique NBA brand and style of basketball to where they kind of force their play style down your throat. And what I mean by that is they're going to hunt matchups the entirety of the game. They're going to play the game on their terms, and they're going to play the game on their pace. And if you can't run and gun with Alabama, you're dead to rights. Now, throughout the course of the first half, 654 Roar, if you have questions, commentary, and more, I see the text flooding in. John's got the phone lines back at Mission Control. He'll take your call, and we'll get you right on. There were a couple things that I thought Clemson did well. The first thing that I thought Clemson did well in the first half was protect the basketball. You had 5 turnovers to Alabama's 8 turnovers. You also won the possession war and the field goal attempt war, being you took 37 shots and Alabama only took 28. The issue here, you went to the halftime break down 15 points because you were 11 of 37 from the field to the tune of 29.7%, and you were 2 of 14 from long range to the tune of 14.3%. That is just flat out unacceptable. And some of that is making and missing shots, right? A lot of these threes are open. Porter was 0 for 3 in the first half. That's literally the only reason he's on this team is to make threes. Just couldn't make a shot last night for whatever reason. It is what it is. Foster was 0 for 4 from 3 in the first half. Thought a couple of the looks he got were clean. Buddha Johnson was 1 of 4 from 3 in the first half. Thought 3 of those 4 looks were clean. Welling missed a 3. Chase Thompson missed an open one in the corner. So there were a lot of open looks that you were able to garner and generate, and you just weren't able to knock them down throughout the course of the first half for whatever reason. And then on the other side, like I told y'all, I thought Filon is a lottery pick. I'm not alone in that belief. I think you guys can see that now. He had 29 points in this one. He went for 12 on 4 for 5 shooting in the first half, 2 of 2 from long range and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. I thought he was absolutely unbelievable. everything as advertised and more from LeBron Fylon in this game, and he's just a really, really good player. But he also did a really, really good job of getting to the free throw line, shot faking, kind of foul baiting. I hate to say that, but it's the reality of the situation. And Alabama did a much better job throughout the course of this game of getting to the free throw line than Clemson did. In the first half, Alabama shot 14 free throws, and Clemson only shot 8. They were doing a better job of being assertive. They were doing a better job of being aggressive, and they were getting downhill and getting to the free throw line. Now, a couple other things on the first half before we flush it and move on to the second half, focus on more of the good. You had 11 offensive rebounds in the first half. 11. You turned those into 2 second chance points. And a lot of that was your inability to get the ball over Sherrell. Sherrell blocked 5 shots in the first half. That's absolutely unheard of. 5 blocks in one half for Sherrell. Some of that was not going up strong enough on the interior. Some of that was just Alabama making a better play than you were making. But there were so many things that went wrong for Clemson in the first half that I honestly turned to Kwok at halftime, and he'll vouch for this, and I said, I feel good only being down 15, especially against a team like Bama, because you can get back into the game with the way that they play. So Clemson goes into the halftime break down 15. It felt like a disaster doomsday half. You have more turnovers than made field goals. You're 11 of 37 from the field. You're 2 of 14 from long range, and you still felt like you were in the game. Okay, so let's shift gears to the second half. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. The second half, I thought there were so many positives to focus on. First and foremost, Zach Foster woke up, and it's exactly what you needed. This team is significantly better when he is getting in a rhythm and when he is getting in a flow, and he took the majority of point guard reps during the course of the second half, 0 turnovers. I think he's taken immense leaps as a playmaker throughout the course of his career already. Was really proud of Zach and the way he was able to get after it in the second half. I also really liked that lineup that Brownell elected to pivot to start the second half. He went with Buddy Johnson, Zach Foster, RJ Godfrey, Jake Wallin, and Carter Welling. I thought that was a really nice lineup. And it was interesting to see how Clemson kind of tried to manage throughout the course of this game Foster's minutes and stacking that with Dylan Hunter, who I thought played a really good game with 13 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. And Clemson did end up ultimately winning the battle on the glass by the end of the game. 43-39 on the glass for the Tigers. You were dead even on the defensive glass. You beat them on the offensive glass 18-13. The major difference in this game for me as far as rebounding goes is 18 offensive rebounds for the Tigers were only translated into 6 second chance points. That's just not something that can happen. If your bigs are doing a good enough job on the glass to create you 18 extra possessions, 18, that's 18 times a shot went up and you were able to get the rebound, you have to turn that into more than 3 made baskets. And so, you know, just from a baseline logic standpoint, I'd have to go back and hunt the game log. I'm sure there's some turnovers in there as well, but Clemson was like 3 of 16 or 3 of 17 on second chance opportunities, even though they were able to buy all those opportunities back. And it's just frustrating. It's frustrating to see that you were right at the doorstep and you were knocking at the doorstep and you just couldn't get the job done down the stretch. But ultimately, it wraps back to the fact that you put yourself in a hole in the first half, John. And if you go into the halftime locker room down, let's say, 9 instead of 15, you're looking at a completely different ball game when Clemson goes on that massive tear to start the second half.
No, you are for sure. You just, you know, I agree with a lot of the texters. I'm proud of the fight that they showed in the second half to get out of it, but you need to not be putting yourself in such big holes against competition like this. You kind of did this a little bit against Georgetown, not to the same extent, but yeah, I do have some questions about, you know, upper echelon competition with this team. You know, I think you've got to be more crisp. You've got to be more efficient. And this team has to get better at shooting the three-pointer. It has to happen. If that doesn't happen, all the talk of tournament and all this, that, and the other ain't going to come to fruition if you can't start hitting from three. I mean, you've got a bunch of guys who are basically non-factors out there in the perimeter right now. That's got to get better. And I think Nick Davidson has got to show up in the first half of these games. I know his minutes weren't extreme in this one, but if you're going to be the guy, we've been playing for a month now. It's time to be the guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. You need more production from Nick Davidson, and that much is for certain. 654 Roar is the number. You guys are flooding the Adams Co. Roofing text line. We're going to put a pin in it, take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll continue to break down this second half. The Tigers surging back into the game, coming up just short, one of their last nine from the field with no field goals in the last 2 minutes and 41 seconds. Triumphant comeback effort is halted down the stretch. 92-84 was the final. And for what it's worth, like, we had a couple texts get in. One texter said, do you still think we have the size advantage? Clemson scored 84 points, 50 of which were in the paint. 50 of your 84 points were in the paint, 22 of which were at the free throw line. So 72 of the 84 points that you scored were either in the paint or by going to the paint and drawing free throws, and you out-rebounded Bama. You outshot them by 11 field goal attempts. So, yeah, I do think that Clemson had the size advantage in this game. I think the one thing that Clemson did poorly was choosing when to challenge Sherrill at the rim and not utilizing shot fakes as effectively as Alabama did on the interior. Alabama smoked you in the shot fake category. They did a much better job of pump faking, getting to the free throw line, doing a good job of getting your guys in the air. RJ got in foul trouble at one point in the first half, which I thought impacted the game. I've got a lot of thoughts on the other side of a quick break. Stick with us with Facts and Childress and John Hight right here on The Roar.
Football season's in full swing, folks, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. And Feast Week is back, which means it's an even better time to get in on the action, because from November 26th through November 30th, you can check the app daily for special promos. I love playing Underdog. It's a great place to play for as little as a dollar. You just go higher or lower on stats for your favorite players, like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. College football and the NFL, I'm all over it. If you get your picks right, you play a little better than I do, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. Right now, here's what you need to know. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, your favorite drafts are poured at a frosty 29 degrees and rare barrel-aged whiskeys are served just the way you want them. It's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176 or visit cantyconfixit.com.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachment, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
We're here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Boy, you guys have a great staff, and guys have been with you a long time.
We're really well-staffed. We have a team. It's not just one guy with a truck and a chainsaw. We have a team of people that are willing to come out, help you. And if you hire Schneider Tree, you're going to have an arborist assigned to you that's going to know your property, that's going to have time to walk your property and answer all your questions. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Schneider Tree Care.
Hey Clemson family, it's Davis from Engineered Sleep. My family's been handcrafting mattresses for four generations. And now it's your turn to sleep like a champion. From now until December 7th, get our lowest prices of the year off our premium handcrafted mattresses. Visit engineeredsleep.com or stop by our Greenville showroom. Engineered Sleep, four generations of better rest, built for your best game day.
At Blue Ridge Heating and Air, comfort and flexibility go hand in hand. For a limited time, choose the savings that fit your budget best. With 60 months no interest financing or a $2,000 rebate upfront on select heat pumps, which can qualify for federal tax credits and electric company rebates. That's 5 years interest free or $2,000 or more back in your pocket. Call today and find out which option works best for you at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, a preferred Armstrong Air dealer.
We know exactly what you're not thinking about right now. Wiper blades. But now that you are, take a moment to think about how Rain-X is the number one brand of wiper blades in America. Why? Because Rain-X thinks about wiper blades all the time. We obsess, so you don't have to. Simply install our blades and then think about literally anything else. So choose Rain-X, America's number one wiper blades, and then go back to not thinking about wiper blades. Rain-X. Outsmart the elements.
Talk about stepping up!
Bang! Bang!
It's time to level up your game. Introducing the all-new ESPN app. All of ESPN, all in one place. Your home for the most live sports and the best championship moments.
The electricity is palpable.
Step up your game with no annual contract required. It's the ultimate fan experience. Level up for more on the ESPN app or at stream.espn.com. Sign up now.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Folks, did you know that up to 60% of the air in your home comes from your crawl space or basement? If water, moisture, musty odors, or wood rot are hiding under your house, it could be damaging your home and damaging your health. Crawl Space Medic of the Upstate, locally owned by a Clemson Engineering alum, offers honest, certified evaluations that you can trust. They specialize in crawl space encapsulation, structural repairs, basement waterproofing, vapor barriers, sump pumps, and more. Call Crawl Space Medic Upstate if you're buying or selling a home, if you're a realtor needing a crawl space inspection, if you're concerned about your crawl space, if you haven't had your crawl space inspection in years or ever, or if you're experiencing health issues. Protecting your home and family from the dangers of moisture and mold are their top priority. 100 plus years of combined experience, free inspection and estimate, fair and honest pricing, financing available, trusted by realtors, and photo documented inspection reports. No gimmicks, no upselling, just clear answers and long-lasting repairs from a team of fellow Tigers at Crawl Space Medic Upstate. Give them a call today at 864-479-6208. That is 864-479-6208. Thank you to the great folks at Crawl Space Medic Upstate. Let's hop right back into the Clemson men's basketball discourse. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. A lot of people are checking in on Clemson men's basketball related stuff. Texts are getting in on Zach Foster. Yeah, I've got thoughts on Zach. I mean, I thought the game shifted when Zach was given the keys at the point guard in the second half. Zach's got to make some shots. Like, that's, you guys know I'm the biggest advocate for this guy on planet Earth, like maybe even more than his own mom. And Zach's got to make some shots. Like, I believe in this kid to a ridiculous degree. I think we can all see the natural talent level. I mean, the alley-oop jam that he threw down where his head almost hits the rim, then he rejects the ball screen on the right wing, drives baseline, and just punches it on the whole Alabama team. I was talking with Graham yesterday, just kind of in our meeting room post-game, when we were walking through things with women's basketball, and I was talking out loud with Kwok, too. Zach Foster can get up and down the court quicker than any Clemson player I can remember in the Brownell era. Kwok and I were going all the way back to Oliver Purnell on the days of OPP trying to figure out who could get vertical up and down the court quicker than Zach Foster, because he's unbelievably fast. He did have some freshman moments, though, and that goes without saying. There was a pocket pass to RJ that I thought he threw a little bit low. There was the layup at the end of the game that I thought he rushed. I thought he could have dunked it. He was going a little bit too fast. And then it goes without saying that 5 of 17 from the field and 1 of 6 from three-point range is not great efficiency by any means or any standards. But I think as you continue to watch Zach Foster grow and progress throughout the course of his game and throughout the course of his career, you're going to see those shots fall when you get him involved earlier in games. He's a rhythm-reliant player. He saw the dunk go through, then he stepped back off the screen and popped the three. Then he's yelling at the bench. He's getting into it. He's more engaged on defense. He needs to see one go through to get that full ability unlocked for his game. It just is what it is. A lot of players are like that. So I thought Zach played really well with 12 points, 5 boards, and 3 assists with no turnovers, but it goes without saying that you would like to see improved efficiency. And then, of course, a little bit of a freshman moment there at the end where he smoked the layup because he didn't realize how much time he had coming off the offensive glass, and then he smoked another layup where he was rushing a little bit too much in transition. So you got to work through the growing pains with these freshies. Zach was unbelievable and showed some flashes last night, but it goes without saying that he still has a lot of room to grow. Texter gets in and says, it's rare that you watch a tough loss and are really encouraged by it, but last night was one of those times. Brad out coached Nate Oates and the team made a few free throws layups from taking it to the wire against a top 10 caliber team. This team is super disciplined, gritty, and has a lot of talent that is way below its ceiling. I don't disagree with any of that, 066. I think there's a lot of accuracy in that. And I think you look at Alabama, and again, Sherrell is a physical beast and monster on the interior. He was really able to assert his physicality in the shot blocking element. I thought Clemson needs to play more above the rim on the interior. I thought Davidson specifically was a guy that left a little bunny a couple of times and Sherrell just swatted it. I think RJ got blocked once, and then Porter and Buckner were a disaster last night, to be candid. They both just were chickens with their head cut off driving into the lane, and they got pinned off the glass multiple times by Sherrell. I think that moment was a little bit too big for the both of them, so it was unfortunate to see from that perspective, but Sherrell deserves an immense amount of credit for the way that he was able to assert his physicality on the interior, blocking and altering more shots as a shot blocker around the rim, and then I thought Clemson did a pretty decent job against everybody not named Phylon, and there was a reason yesterday that I told y'all that Phylon was the number one player to watch, and that the key to the game was going to be slowing him down. 29 points, 9 of 17 field goals, 3 of 7 from long range. Phylon's a lottery pick. The kid's an NBA player that should be playing in college. I saw somebody text that in on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. They could not be more correct, and they know what they're watching. That is an NBA lead guard in LeBaron on Phylon. So it's going to be interesting to see how Clemson tries to assess their defensive structure against NBA caliber guards going forward, because you're going to have an NBA caliber guard and an NBA caliber wing that you're playing in Madison Square Garden here in the very near future on Tuesday against BYU, and AJ DeBonsta and Rob Wright and what they bring to the table. And then they've also got a Richie Saunders that's a really good shooter on the perimeter as well. So defensively, I thought Clemson could have done a lot of things better throughout the course of this game, but if you'd have told me before the game that you hold Alabama to 35% from long range, especially the way that they started, then I would have taken that and ran for the hills with the way that Alabama can get up and down the floor and just really impact the game. Texter gets in about Amari Allen. Yeah, he impressed me, man. I didn't know Amari Allen had that gear to him. 20 points and 11 boards last night for Amari Allen. That's a really good point. That's a really, really good point. I thought Amari Allen played phenomenally well, and they needed that from him last night to end up getting over the finish line, did Alabama, obviously with the absence of Holloway and with missing another one of their rotational players. But they did make his debut for Alabama last night for the season, the transfer over from Miami, Florida. So that was good to see for him, and he's still trying to knock some of the rust off, but yeah. Texter gets in. To me, the game was winnable, but the missed free throws and shots at the end of the game cost us. Yeah. Yeah, another texter gets in and says it's hard to win a game when it's 8-on-5. Yeah, I mean, the officiating was poor. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I don't think it's the reason you lost the game. I think the most frustrating thing for me on the officiating front was the lack of enforcement of traveling. I thought Alabama got away with some cha-cha sliding in the paint, especially with a lot of their guards. You know, dribble drive penetration, they're looking to get rim pressure and kick out, and they would go 1-2, and it felt like they were getting away with an additional gather step there, and then when they were, like, caught in the air and trying to swing the ball out, I thought there was some cloudy stuff happening with the footwork there, but it just kind of is what it is. I mean, you're not going to get the whistle in the ACC-SEC challenge as the ACC team against a top 10 team in their home gym. So I just kind of gave Bama like a plus 5 on the scoreboard going into the game with that anticipation. Maybe that's why I'm coping with it a little bit easier. But yeah, I thought the officiating was poor, and I think it's fair to assess it in that way for sure. Texter gets in and says, Porter is never going to play good against elite long teams. He's too small and can't defend long guards. Yeah, I agree with you. Another Texter says, Wilkinson from UGA abused him. There wasn't a single player for Bama that he could match up against. Yes, this is exactly what I was saying where, you know, throughout the course of these New Hampshire and Gardner-Webb games and Morehead State and North Alabama and all that, that's why those are the games that Justin Porter is going to be effective in. And against lower level ACC competition or maybe teams that have smaller guards, that is where Justin Porter is going to be effective. But the irrefutable fact of the situation is that Zach Foster is going to have to start from this team for this team eventually from a sheer size and stature perspective, because you're right. In the first half, a lot of Clemson's defensive breakdowns were guard-to-guard screening, looking to get Phylon switched on JP, and then they would spread things out and they would attack. They were picking on him, and they were hunting him pretty frequently, which is why Brad sent him to the bench for like the last 17 minutes of the game or whatever it was. So yeah, I don't disagree with you in the slightest. I think Justin Porter is going to be a guy that his level of effectiveness is extremely reliant on what the matchup in front of you showcases. And if you're playing against a team that has big guards or guards that are going to attack him consistently, he's going to get played off the court. And that's not the first time we've seen that this year against Alabama, and it's not the last time we'll see it either. So it just kind of is what it is. John, your thoughts on the second half in totality? And Clemson kind of storming with the comeback.
It was an impressive second half, to say the least, especially when you were down by as much as you were. I thought that some of the shot making was obviously better. Some of the shot selection I thought was better. I don't think it was as much chucking up nonsense. I like the fact that Clemson got away from the three-pointer almost entirely in the second half of that game, which is crazy. You're down 15 that you get away from the three, but the way they were chucking it up with a lack of success, I thought that was the right move here. I was impressed by the fight. I was impressed by the resolve. This team just has to get better at making shots. I think they're messing it up a little too much. They're not a consistent shooting team. They've got to get better at shooting the basketball, which is, you know, it sounds like a simple thing here. But, no, they've got to get better at shooting the basketball. And I also thought it's splitting hairs at this point. But, man, what a bad look in the plus-minus column for this basketball team yesterday outside of Jake Wallin.
Yeah, there were, I think, 5 players that were in the plus and a lot of players that were in the minus. Like, Ace Buckner was minus 13 in his 13 minutes. Budda Johnson was minus 15 in his 23 minutes. Wallin was plus 12 in his 22 minutes. Foster plus 1 in his 25. Dylan plus 1 in his 32. And some of that's natural flow of the game. But with Carter Welling and Buckner specifically, I thought you could see the fact that they were negatively impacting the game when they were out there. And for Welling specifically, like, that's just a guy that you cannot afford to play that poorly, to be candid. You needed Carter Welling's size, verticality, athleticism. You know, Texters are getting in about the shot blocking element. Well, that's your shot blocker. The issue was he was 1 of 5 in his 15 minutes. He was minus 12 with 2 turnovers and 2 fouls, and you couldn't afford to play him because RJ was carrying all that load down low for you. So, yeah, that's a good point from John on the plus minus. You know, there are times where that does depict a picture, and I think with a couple players specifically yesterday, you just needed to be better, point blank, period. Let's get to Gervonta on the phone lines, who's been patiently waiting. Gervonta, appreciate you checking in. Glad to hear from you here on a Thursday morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
Good. I want to thank you for letting me get on the show this morning. I want to send my condolences out to Eldon Campbell's family.
Yeah.
Clemson, great loss. I want to give my condolences to them. But I want to say just one player that I think that could get the ball up the floor. I don't think he's good as the guy you was talking about a while ago. But one guy I think could have got the ball up the floor real quick was Cliff Hammonds. But I'll take your comments off there and go Tigers.
Yeah, I like that call. Yeah, Cliff could go, man. Goodness gracious, Cliff could go. And that's kind of what we were talking about yesterday when we were watching film with the women, was going all the way back to the Oliver Purnell era to have to search for some guys that could get up and down the court as quick as Zach Foster. Foster, man, it's just unbelievable how quick he can fly. Like, he can absolutely fly. And you got to get him in a little bit more control, and that goes without saying. But, I mean, the team is just so much better offensively and visually so much better when he's on the court. He's the only guard that you have on your roster that can consistently generate rim pressure outside of Dylan Hunter. And as we know, Dylan Hunter is not a guy that's necessarily looking to score on a consistent basis. So when you have Foster in there, it unlocks a whole new element for the actions that you can run on the strong side and the weak side of your offense. There were so many times yesterday where they're running in this high-low, right, and you got Davidson on the block looking for a seal, and you have RJ handling the ball at the top of the key on the perimeter, and he's looking for the duck in, and Alabama's cheating it, so it's not there, and you're getting denied on the first guard, which is either Dylan or Butta, and the second guard that's coming to get that ball screen is Zach Foster, and every time Zach got the ball, something good was happening from a quality of a shot perspective, whether it was he was getting 2 feet in the paint and kicking the ball out, and you were swinging it around for an open shot, or whether he was executing the pick and roll well and bounce passing it to RJ Godfrey on the short roll, or whether he was getting all the way to the rim and attacking and getting rim pressure himself, or taking a step back behind the screen and putting the three through the hoop. Like, this team is better with Zach, man. This team is better with Zach. It's undeniable, and there is just a certain amount of balancing that Brad Brownell has to do, which makes it a lot easier said than done to stack this rotation, right? Because if you start Zach Foster, then all of a sudden your bench gets infinitely weaker. And if you're having to pivot to Justin Porter off your bench, and we're having the similar conversations that we're having right now about him getting pushed around on defense, then you're in a catch-22. So you're going to have to go to Butta a little bit earlier than you want to go to Butta. And maybe you're having to punt with some Chase Thompson minutes to try and go a little bit bigger. So I think everybody can see, including Brad Brownell and his staff, how much better this team and this offense hum when Zach Foster is on the court. But it's not as simplistic as just thrusting him into the starting lineup, especially with some of the ways that he has struggled to guard the ball without fouling throughout the course of his career. He had 4 more fouls last night. So this is an area where I don't envy Brad Brownell and his job. I envy a lot of things about his job. But this is a tough call, man. This is a tough call as to like who to start, and you're still tinkering and you're still tweaking to try and find out what the best combination is and what the best way to deploy Zach Foster and what his skill set to this team is. And it's not just a point blank answer. It isn't like a black and white thing. So I think you have to start him in conference play for defensive reasons, because JP is going to get picked on if you don't. But then that unlocks the conversation of who's coming off the bench and who can be that scoring pop. And Zach's got to play without fouling. So it's going to be interesting to see. Going to be interesting to see for sure. And then John's point about making the three ball, I mean, you're shooting 32.8% right now. That is 200th in the country from long range. You need to be better than that. You need to knock down shots. It's just as simple as that. You look through the roster right now, your leading three-point shooter is Dylan Hunter. If I would have told you that before the season, everybody would have called me a liar. Here are some stats right now for how some guys are shooting from long range. Foster is 12 of 38, which is 31.6%. Chase Thompson's 2 for 6, 33.3%. Buckner is 3 for 24, 12.5%. Butta Johnson is 9 of 29, 31%. Porter is 17 of 51, 33%. And Davidson is 3 of 13, 23%. Those guys are all capable shooters. You need to shoot the ball better. That's a simple part of this to alleviate some of these woes offensively for Clemson. Quick break here on the program, talking more Clemson men's basketball right after this.
It's that time of year again. It's time to start thinking about Seneca's Half Marathon and 5K. It's coming 2026, March the 14th. You've thought about it, maybe made a resolution, or thought about maybe doing your first half marathon or 5K. Well, here's your year to do it. Sign up today. And what better way to give a present, too, if you'd like to give a stocking stuffer for the race entry? You can do that. Go to runsignup.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. 313 is a major sponsor with us, along with Henry Ramirez and all the gang at Upstate Medical Associates, our two official sponsors, and Santee Cooper is also involved. It's going to be a fun day. You can check out our website at Race for the Green at Seneca SC Events on Facebook. And if you'd like to know more information, just go to our website at seneca.sc.us. Make a resolution, make a commitment to do your first 5K or half marathon and a relay too. You can find it all at www.seneca.sc.us. It's Race for the Green 2026, March the 14th.
Did you know when you buy your Christmas tree from the Clemson Sertoma Club, the proceeds help send a kid to summer camp? Buy your beautiful Fraser Fir or Fraser Fir Wreath at Ace Hardware in Clemson at the intersection of Highway 76 and 123. They sell out quickly, so be sure to get yours today. Every purchase helps support children in need in our community, and that's what the holiday season is all about. Oh, and to make sure your holiday dollars stretch further, no price increases. Thank you for your support of the Clemson Sertoma Club.
Our great partners at Whataburger are fixing to open a new location, and they're pulling out all the stops with their brand new store on Woodruff Road right in front of Target. Join Facts on Sports Live as John Height and I take the show on the road Wednesday, December 10th from 9 a.m. until noon. We'll have station swag along with a special menu offering from our friends at Whataburger. They've taken the Carolinas by storm, and now they're opening a new location, Whataburger, in front of Target on Woodruff Road. Don't miss it on Wednesday, December 10th.
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower, the list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
Call the plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber. One Time Plumber.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Holidays are quickly approaching, and there is no better way to shop for Western and workwear fashion for men, women, and children than at Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney. If you hurry in now, you can save 10% by just mentioning the Roar FM. This excludes firearms. We also carry hunting and fishing clothes, gear, and supplies. With brands like Carhartt, Ariat, Cinch, Wrangler, and many more, you can get everything you need in one stop. Visit today right off I-85 at exit 90 or 92, just down Peachoid Road.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
Holiday shopping season is finally here. Whether you've got a naughty or nice name on your list, Four Men on Exchange and New Tea Boutique in Pennington Square have the perfect gift for everyone. Shop local art, handmade jewelry, soaps, home decor, and men's items galore. Enjoy samples of gourmet snacks and cider all throughout the holiday season inside New Tea Boutique, while Four Men on Exchange is going to be your new go-to place for gifts, garments, and gear. 122 East Main Street in downtown Pennington. Happy holidays from New Tea Boutique and Four Men on Exchange.
The only place for sports talk in the upstate is right here, every day. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Height continues right here on 105.5, 97.5. The Roar, 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co-Roofing text line. A ton of texters are getting in on the team. Texter says, Foster will continue to grow. What I like about him is that he cares, Steve. Yeah, I mean, you can always bank on that with the Atlanta kids, man. I mean, winning is not an option down there in high school ball, EYBL.
It's just an option for the Falcons. That's the only team in Atlanta that it's optional for.
Exactly, or the 2025 rendition of the Braves. Those are the only ones for sure.
Which, hey, speaking of the Braves, Ron Washington was just hired by the San Francisco Giants for their infield coaching role. So just wanted to make sure Braves fans knew that he was off the market.
Really? Oh, that's good for Ron.
Makes sense. Tony Vitello's never done anything at the professional level that you go and get the, I mean, from what Braves fans have told me for the last 5 years, the greatest manager in the history of baseball to help him out. So I think that's a smart move there.
Yeah, for sure. Texter gets in and says, Fax, let me ask you a question. Every time I watch Jeff Goodman on Field of 68, including last night, he mentions that Clemson is well coached but limited on the talent because of the limited budget on the roster. Is it really that bad? Is the 11.5% revenue share, the less than the 15%, really hurting the team or the program? It's just, to be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, I know Jeff pretty well personally. I do a lot of work with Field of 68, as you know, as well. I don't think it's an entirely inaccurate depiction of the situation, but I also don't think that Clemson's being hindered, if that makes sense. Like, Clemson has other avenues to supplement their roster with NIL money. I'll put that as simply put as that, without giving any more details. Clemson is competitive in the NIL scene in men's basketball. It just doesn't look the same as it looks at certain other places, if that makes sense. So, yeah, no, Clemson's fine financially. There's talent on this roster. There's enough talent to make the NCAA tournament, and there's enough talent to win games. There was enough talent to win the game last night, in my opinion. Texter says, had chances to build the lead bigger than 2 points in the second half, only to not handle a defensive rebound, and Bama hits a wide-open three for second-chance points. It was a roller coaster of emotions as a fan. Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable to watch that game in the gym. It was back and forth and back and forth. It was a freaking duel, man. I mean, these two teams were getting after it. There's NBA talent on the court on Alabama's side. There's a lot of gritty players on Clemson's side, man, and it was a really fun game to watch for sure. But yeah, from a fan standpoint, which is what I was last night, I don't get to do that very often, so I was cheering my tail off. It was definitely stressful. A lot of Nick Davidson-related texts. A couple people are getting in saying, why was he not playing down the stretch, or this, that, and the third. I thought last night was the best game of Nick Davidson's Clemson career, but it all came in the second half. All 11 of his points came in the second half. 4 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 3 boards and an assist in 14 minutes. I think Clemson was forced stylistically, Texter, to do a couple different things from a defensive structure standpoint down the stretch, which is why Davidson kind of got played off the court. So the biggest adjustment that Clemson made, if you guys noticed at home in the second half, was they started switching everything in the ball screen action. So when you're switching everything in the ball screen action, the counter from the opposing coach is, okay, we're going to find the weak link, and we're going to hunt him in ball screen. And unfortunately for Nick Davidson, even while playing a really good offensive game for what his standard has been here at Clemson thus far in his career, he was the one getting hunted in the ball screen game. So what they were doing was they would run this double stagger away. They would get Phylon coming to the ball in the middle third. Both of the wings would space corner, a guard and a forward would space on both of the wings, and then they would bring one of the wings, or whoever Davidson was on at the time, and they would isolate him in the ball screen in the middle third. And since Clemson was switching everything, there were 4 or 5 times in the second half where it was either Godfrey or Davidson switched on Phylon. And every time, Phylon did the exact same thing. He got 2 feet in the paint because he's quicker than the big player, and he would either penetrate and kick for an open shooter, which is why you saw Clemson hemorrhage and give up a couple of those corner threes down the stretch, or he would jump and shot fake in the air, get Clemson's big in the air, and then lean in and do the little Shea Gilgeous Alexander foul bait crap and throw the ball at the rim and get 2 free throws. So that's why Davidson got benched down the stretch, was because Godfrey was doing a significantly better job of switching onto the ball screen and staying in front of the guards than Davidson was, and he was starting to get hunted on defense. So I do understand that he was providing a lot for your team offensively, right? You were running that Hawaii action, that high-low. You were punching it inside to Davidson. He was picking on those mismatches and taking advantage of those size opportunities on the interior. But unfortunately, on the other end of the floor, he was the one that was getting hunted, and he was the one that was getting picked on. Again, this is really high-level stuff between Nate Oates and Brad Brownell, coaches that have been to the Final Four and the Elite Eight. It's a constant chess match, and with Nate Oates and what Alabama wants to do, the NBA style is to hunt a matchup in ISO in space. So when you have a guy like Davidson on the court, that's the weak link, and that's the guy that's going to get picked on. So I hope that makes sense at home, and I hope I did a good job of explaining that. But yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is, and that is for sure. 654 Roar is the number if you guys want to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co Roofing text line. Chancey said anything to rise up in the net. Yeah, you went up in net. You went up in Ken Pomming. You went up in Torvik last night after a loss, just because Bama's really freaking good, man. Bama's probably going to end up in the Elite Eight again with Filon, and especially when they get Holloway back in that backcourt. Whew. Man, that kid's a player. That kid is an absolute player. Ton more text to get to as well. Texter says, makes sense. He was bruising guys in the paint on offense, which I thought helped the flow of the game, but can't have him guarding NBA guards on the perimeter for sure. Godfrey's a lot more athletic. Yeah, it's just kind of what it is. Texter 926 says, what is this tagging method Quawk spoke about yesterday? Yeah, so tagging can be used in multiple different ways, and we'll take some calls after this. So when you're referencing tagging, think of five players on defense and you're in ball screen coverage, which is what I was just talking about, okay? So they're running five out on offense with this NBA style. They're bringing one guy up to screen and they have one guy with the ball. What tagging is essentially when Filon's coming off to his right off the ball screen in the middle third, okay, and the player that is setting the screen is rolling, somebody on the weak side has to come over and tag, or at least show and showcase help to throw them off in the ball screen game and present that they are in the paint and in the lane, so it's not just an easy dunk. So when you tag, you have to scramble, and that creates a lot of, I would just say, pandemonium with trying to get back to the ball and get out on shooters. But you can also tag in transition, and what that means is you have to be in constant communication with your guys that you're getting back on defense and calling out who you have and making sure that you're not getting mismatched in transition. So it's a very calculated process as to who is tagging, when they're tagging, whether that's in half court or whether it's in transition. But the most simple way I can put it, Texter, is it's essentially communication with showing help in the ball screen game. And then in transition, it's more in relation to making sure that you're matched up in the right way in transition. Let's take some phone calls. 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in. Tim and Greer's been on hold the longest. Tim, good to hear from you. Appreciate you.
Hey, no problem, Faxon and John. Hey, you know, I always like to get a real quick comment, something you guys say or do that I consider to be just stellar radio. And John, I got to give it to you. And Faxon, by the way, your breakdown just now, you should be on Field of 64 as a regular, my friend. That was beautiful. I didn't plan
Thank
to say
you.
That just there. It just kind of came out, but I was going to talk about that, but who needs to? And Clemson fans, if you listen to what Faxon was just talking about, man, I just need to be quiet because I don't need to add to it. That was beautiful stuff. But, John, your deep dive, your quick poke with a red-hot poker of all the Atlanta teams, that was beautiful. And I'm a Braves fan.
Hey, Tim, I just call him as I see him. I've been told by Braves fans for several years that Ron Washington was the key to a World Series, so I thought they would like to know that Ron Washington found a new employer. I was just trying to pass along some information.
I mean, Faxon threw a morsel to a truth about Atlanta basketball players is a positive thing, and then it was almost as if that thing, if you're married, listeners, you know what I'm talking about, you get in an argument with your wife, and all of a sudden you – the husband goes, and your mama can't cook either. You bring out something from, where'd that come from? And all of a sudden, that's what you did. It was like, you all of a sudden, well, yeah, they're good down there, but also the Falcons can't win, and the Braves, I hope you Braves fans know, bam, I was like, John, come on. That was great. And now I've used up all my time to talk about basketball, so I don't know. But I just want to, I enjoy listening to you guys. My comment was, for all the Clemson basketball fans that ever think about moving on from Brown, Coach Brownell, that man is just he is an amazing coach. I'm a Bama guy to the core. You guys know that about me, I think, by now. And I grew up and raised there. And so I'm the guy that watches all the press conferences afterwards. And Coach Oates last night, he always tips his hat to Coach Brownell. And he said, he also said some pretty impressive things. I don't know if you got to go to the media stuff or not, Faxon, because you were down there. And by the way, now Jay Williams needs to say some more bad things about our crowd, like you said. I don't know what that was. We've come a long way since November of 23 when Jay Will just threw us under the bus, and he should have, and called out a hideous Coleman Coliseum, the largest airplane hangar in America. We need a new arena bad. And Jay Will called us out. And then the fans got much better. Last night was a step backwards and then some. It was embarrassing, and I could hear all 300 Clemson fans louder than our fans. But on TV, that's terrible. But I don't know, Clemson fans, you have an amazing coach. He is a guy that he is so smart at the game of basketball. And I don't have time to talk about guys I want to on your team, like Whalen or Wallen, have you pronounced his name? That kid,
yeah.
Too many role players and Welling. But that kid, Foster, that's an NBA player on your roster.
Yep.
And he's not alone. But I did want to leave with this and ask you to talk about it maybe next hour or something. I don't know if Alabama's ever going to be healthy at one time. But if we are, I get so tired of our players missing games. I don't know what that is. Goes back years, but if Holloway and Bethea stays well, I want you to tell me about how good he can be. I don't know his game, but if Trell Reitzel can stay healthy, I think we could be a really special team. But are we going to ever see them all play together at one time for any extended period of time? And last nugget, I did love Coach saying that Aiden Sherrill was in the gym shooting free throws last night after the game. After he blocked like 9 shots or something, whatever it was, because
he was awesome.
Important free throws, but
he missed
free throws, so he went to the gym. So tip my hat to the kid. You guys do
for
a great job. Your basketball coverage is stellar, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for getting in. Coming to the phone lines in hour number 2, Facts and Children's John Hyde, continuing on Facts on Sports right here on the Roll.
CCPFM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5, Spartan.